SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Massive waves of balloon-borne incendiary devices were launched from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel throughout the entire past week, with a peak of attacks on Thursday, when at least 30 fires of varying sizes, including 17 large ones, were ignited and confirmed by investigators to have been started by arson balloons. This was the largest number of fires started by Gazan balloons in a single day since Palestinians began launching airborne incendiary devices over a year ago. In general, the devices consist of a burning piece of fabric soaked in fuel, which is connected to one or several balloons. There have also been cases of larger clusters of balloons carrying small bombs being launched towards Israel. The easterly winds coming off the Mediterranean Sea pushed the balloons into Israeli territory. On Friday, it was announced that Egypt and the United Nations helped negotiate an arrangement for calm in the Gaza Strip, to which both Israel and Hamas agreed. The arrangement includes the expansion of the coastal enclave's fishing perimeter to 15 nautical miles in return for a halt in the launching of firebombs from the Strip into Israel. On hearing of the arrangement, Kohol Levan party leader Benny Gantz joined a chorus of opposition criticism over the policy. Gantz told reporters in a burnt field in southern Israel, Netanyahu is filling up Hamas's fire balloons with helium. The truce agreement, again, it proves it's Hamas dictating things to Netanyahu. If there's no strong response, there's no deterrence. If there is no deterrence, there is no calm. Netanyahu has previously defended his Gaza policy by saying that it is in Israel's interest to do everything possible to avoid a major military operation in the Gaza Strip. Shortly after Gantz spoke, a Palestinian was arrested carrying a knife after crossing the Gaza border. And rather than see a reduction in the incendiary devices, they continued at a rapid pace yesterday, starting numerous fires. Dozens of Palestinians were injured in clashes with Israeli security forces in the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Issawiya on Friday, after police on Thursday killed a 20-year-old Mohammed Samir Obeid, who launched fireworks at them at a close range, endangering their lives. On Friday morning, around 30 rioters threw stones at police, who responded with stun grenades. Later, demonstrators were again launching fireworks at officers. At least 80 protesters suffered light injuries in Friday night violence. Police in recent weeks have been entering Issawiya on a nightly basis in a bid to track down members of the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, SEL, believed to be at large in the neighborhood, leading to regular clashes with local residents. White House advisor Jared Kushner on Thursday hailed the US-led Peace to Prosperity Summit held in Bahrain as a tremendous success and made another appeal for the Palestinians to consider Washington's $50 billion economic stimulus plan. At the two-day conference, economic leaders heard the details of the plan that promises to jumpstart the stagnant Palestinian economy. The proposal has been rejected by Palestinians because it does not include a framework for resolving their conflict with Israel. On the sidelines of the conference, Bahraini Foreign Minister Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa said that he would like to visit Israel in the future, one day when it's all open and peaceful, he said. We don't want to put the carriage before the horse. Let's build it. We're building the atmosphere now with economic prosperity. Diplomatic representation is symbolic, I tell you the truth. If you do diplomatic representation and you don't have all the foundations of prosperity and cooperation, what is that diplomatic entity doing? Khalifa wants Israelis to trust that there are more than one or two or three voices in the Arab world that are aiming for peace. They are not surrounded by enemies, but they're surrounded by people who will want to achieve a just peace that would make everybody comfortable. Saleh Abu Mayala, a Palestinian businessman who attended the US-led economic conference in Bahrain, was arrested in Hebron on his return. PA security forces also attempted to arrest Ashraf Khanam, another Palestinian businessman who attended the conference in Hebron, but he successfully fled to an Israeli-controlled part of the city. Palestinian officials had boycotted the conference. Saeb Erekat, the Secretary General of the Palestinian Liberation Organization's Executive Committee, on Tuesday said that no Palestinians were prevented from attending. However, he has not commented on the arrests. In contrast to the American assessment, the PA declared the Bahrain conference to have been a huge failure. US President Donald Trump said yesterday that there will never be an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement if one is not negotiated during his presidency, but there is a very good chance that his proposal for solving the conflict could succeed. Declaring Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political career to be over, his predecessor and former coalition partner Ehud Barak announced the establishment of a new political party on Wednesday that will compete in September's elections. Barak said at a peace conference in Tel Aviv, "We've come here today to announce the establishment of a new party that will work to reform the country and society. This is not the time to remain sitting on the sidelines." He was flanked by his partners, former IDF Deputy Chief of Staff Yair Golan, law professor Yifat Biton, and entrepreneur Kobi Richter. Barak is seeking an alliance of center-left factions that would include Labour, Meretz, and the Kohol Levan party of Bernie Gantz. Nitzan Horovitz was elected leader of the Meretz party on Thursday night, defeating incumbent MK Tamar Zandberg and becoming Israel's first openly gay party leader. The election was decided by the 1,000 members of Meretz's party convention, with Horovitz taking 54% and Zandberg 46% of the vote, from a turnout of 81%. Zandberg will still run on the Meretz list for the next elections. Less than a month after voting for new elections, a growing number of the 74 lawmakers who voted in favour are now seeking to renege. Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein announced on Tuesday that he had discovered a parliamentary framework that would allow for the cancellation of the most unnecessary elections in Israel's history. Prime Minister Netanyahu, who orchestrated the elections, tweeted that he would consider the proposal. Support also came from Likud MKs, the leaders of Kulanu, United Torah Judaism, and the Union of Right-Wing Parties for any measures that would allow for the cancellation of the unnecessary elections for which they had voted. Two-thirds of Israelis are opposed to the new round of elections, which will cost the country millions of shekels. The military prosecution announced on Tuesday was withdrawing the indictment of Mahmoud Katusa for the rape of a 7-year-old girl, but it is unable to hide the many failings in the investigative process. Critical errors were made as early as April 15th, when the family of the victim first lodged their complaint with the police. It took police investigators 2 weeks before the suspect was arrested, and no real investigative steps seem to have been taken, and no evidence was produced. Katusa was released on Wednesday. The signal that has been disrupting satellite navigation for planes flying through Israeli airspace in recent weeks originates inside a Russian airbase inside Syria. The interference to GPS reception is not directed at Israel, but rather is collateral damage in an effort by Moscow to both protect its troops from drone attacks and to assert its dominance in the field of electronic warfare. A few weeks ago, pilots started reporting navigation problems during takeoff and landing in Ben-Gurion Airport, as well as around Cyprus's Larnaca International Airport. According to Israel Airport's authority, interference has not caused any safety issues. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.